All right, guys, this is another episode of Get the Puck Out. Today I am joined by my man Ian. He's slotting in here for Kyle. Ian, how are we today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, doing pretty good. You know how we work around here. It's next man up, and I'm ready to be that guy who jumps up on the first line.
That's it, buddy. That's it. Huge news going on right now in the NHL. And of course, I'm out on the golf course on Monday. I get a day off of work and I'm listening to a little bit of music because it was the elderly ladies' day on the golf course. It was like their league day. So we were waiting a little bit in between holes, which was fine. So we had the music going and whatever. So of course I floor it on the cart, had a couple vodka iced teas. And sure enough, my phone goes bouncing right down the cart path, broken.
I got a freaking muscle spasm in my back, you know, gear slipped, air brakes were shot to hell. I mean, there's nothing I could do. Boom, right into the post office.
Boom, right into the post office, buddy. It was horrible. My phone is out of commission. What a horrible time for it to be out of commission because, Ian, stuff is going down. And we're going to go way back to like almost what felt like ages ago, but was only just a couple days ago. Erik Karlsson signs a massive contract extension, $11.5 million a year over 8 seasons, brought him to that, $92 million mark. What do you think on that?
Well, you know, my first thought was, what's San Jose going to do with the rest of the guys that they need to sign? But look, Erik Karlsson got his money. $92 million is quite a big dollar sign, and you know what? Good for him. I mean, he obviously battled, through injuries this past season. I just, I don't know. I mean, I personally, you know, I don't have that type of money, so I wouldn't be paying anyone anyways. But to me, it seems a little steep for a guy who, you know, again, is the last couple of seasons has dealt with injuries. He missed most of the season this past year dealing with injuries. And, you know, he had off-season surgery to repair that hamstring, which is, you know, that's not something you want for your puck-moving defenseman.
No, especially already after he's already had his Achilles tendon sliced in half, couple groin issues. I mean, one thing I will say, though, the guy is an absolute animal. He tries to play through it. I have a lot of respect for Erik Karlsson. $11.5 million is astronomical, but the Sharks have the cap space. They threw $13 million at John Tavares. So the fact that they did everything they could to keep their star defenseman doesn't surprise me at all. Now, we'll talk into the San Jose Sharks here. They have to sign LeBlanc. They need to sign Pavelski possibly, or they let him go. Like, are they going to be able to get everybody under the cap here? I know they moved, they shipped Braun to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, San Jose, their best players are their older players. And I think if you had to sit there and choose who do you want to, you know, sticking with Karlsson here for a second, who do you want to throw that money at? And who do you really want to, you know, kind of back as the face of this team for the next several years going forward? You know, Karlsson's that guy. He's the youngest of the group. Obviously, like you said, when he's healthy and he's on his game, I mean, he's an incredible player. That's why he was always in the conversation for Norris, you know, the Norris Trophy, and he was such a coveted player for such a long time. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think this team needs to, you know, they're going to be put in a position where maybe Joe Pavelski moves on. Maybe you can't afford him because, you know, they have, I think, 40% of their cap is taken up by five players. You know, you're talking Evander Kane, obviously, Karlsson, and, you know, those guys, Logan Couture, you know, they take up a huge portion of this cap. And, you know, they obviously have several players that they're going to have to fit going forward, and that's including Joe Pavelski, who would essentially fall in that $7 million-plus category. So, it's just...
Speaking of that, I just want to jump in there. $7 million-plus. We were talking about the Philadelphia Flyers acquiring Braun from San Jose. Well, they went out early. They grabbed the negotiating rights to Kevin Hayes from the Winnipeg Jets, and boom. What do you know it? They come out with a contract agreement, and they gave him $7 million a season. The guy has 120 goal season in his NHL career, and he gets a contract like that. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it briefly before we started recording, but, you know, it just seems like Philly, out of all this, wasted giving up draft pick. I feel like if they were going to offer him this type of contract, they could have easily got him if he made it to free agency, because I don't think any other team was going to throw that type of money at him.
Yeah, 7 years, $50 million for Kevin Hayes.
Oh, it's outrageous.
I mean, I know he did have a good season last year, don't get me wrong, but one 20-plus goal season, and all of a sudden, if you're a Leafs fan, you feel like maybe a little better about the amount of money that William Nylander makes, because Kevin Hayes is just as undeserving of that kind of money. And that, what does that mean? What's Matt Duchene gonna command?
Well, and that's it. Like, we're already in, we haven't even reached the actual start of free agency. These are all obviously re-signings. And in the case of Kevin Hayes, you know, his rights were acquired in a trade. But I, you know, honestly, I don't know. Like, what is Matt Duchene going to get? What is Mitch Marner actually asking for? I know he's a restricted free agent, but, you know, there's a lot of this that plays into how that's going to play out. And you know, I imagine it's going to be a pretty interesting few weeks coming up.
It is going to be an interesting few weeks. You brought it up. Mitch Marner. I think Mitch Marner, I said this when this happened, Ian, when John Tavares, who wasn't on the Leafs, wasn't a part of the team that lost to Boston in the playoffs, wasn't a part of that core coming forward that kind of went through the growing pains. When they threw $11 million a season at him, hometown discounts got thrown in the trash. And I think Mitch Marner is sitting back after leading the Leafs in scoring for the last two seasons. He sees Austin Matthews get $11 million or whatever it was a year. He sees John Tavares get $11 million a year. He sees William Nylander be able to bully his way into the contract he wanted. And he's supposed to be the guy to take the hometown discount for what? I think Mitch Marner is going to be commanding $10.5 to $11 million a season. It has to be. How can he make less than those guys when he's the one leading the team in scoring?
Well, and that right there too is you mentioned, like, oh, he felt slighted. Well, you know, these are humans that we're dealing with, so there is a bit of that, I feel like, going on as well. It's like, you know what, like, he knows that all the cards are in his favor. You know, even the astronomical price that a team will have to pay to acquire him, if they offer him, pay him the contract, then forfeit the draft choices, it's worth it because of his age and, like you said, his ability. Obviously, you know, skeptics will say, well, you know, look at his numbers with and without Tavares. Well, look, he was a really good player, and the Leafs screwed up by not, like you said, re-signing him last season, where they could have got him, you know, maybe in that $7 million 5-year range, you know, something, one of those, I don't want to call it a stopgap contract, but one of those standard contracts that you get with some of your younger players trying to tie him up long-term, you know, 4 or 5 years for down the road.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, man. And like I said, I think the last time we spoke, this is going to be the craziest offseason I think we've seen in some time. The New York Rangers, they stepped up to the plate first. Jeff Gordon, I'm a big fan of his. I really enjoyed his time for the Bruins, actually. He made some smart moves while he was just holding the post. Yeah, he set them up really good. The Rangers acquired defenseman Jacob Trouba from the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for, I always mess up his last name here. I think it's Pionk. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, yes, correct. And if I'm wrong, hopefully no one calls me out on it.
Yeah, exactly. Pionk in a first round pick went from the Jets, who are in cap hell. They have an interesting restricted free agent in Patrick Laine, a guy who last season, yeah, he scored a good amount of goals, but I think he had like an almost 20-goal November. He was actually quite cold for a lot of the year.
Yeah, he certainly didn't. He was a guy that, again, like a lot of people expect him, you know, to be in that conversation for, you know, most goals scored or, you know, right up there. And he certainly did take a step back. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's still going to be pretty coveted. And the Winnipeg's not going to get any breaks, you know, trying to play off this one bad season, or, you know, I don't want to say bad season, but subpar for his standards.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And I think I will say, with Winnipeg being in cap hell, I think they did really well on that trade. I think they got a very, very capable young defenseman. And, you know, it's never a bad thing to acquire a first round pick if you're a team who competes for the cup every year, but will run into those situations. You got to make sure you nail your draft picks. Getting a first round pick from a team like the Rangers, who, you know, they're still, I don't have them in the playoffs with or without Trouba next year so far.
Well, I mean,
they've made.
Well, it all depends too, because I mean they have a pretty decent amount of cap space, and you know, obviously they're going to be drafting Kaapo Kakko and tomorrow night. So I mean, he, you know, and he's a guy that, you know, when you list guys that are ready to step into the lineup, you know, right away, you know, he's a guy that can do that. Obviously, him and Jack Hughes are the consensus one and two, and the Rangers are going to get a good player. And look, they still have some money to work with. You know, they can go out and make a, you know, another signing. So, you know, you give me some of that young, some of those young guys, you know, Henrik Lundqvist and Nett, you know, this team could have a quick turnaround. I mean, you know, we're not talking best team in the East, but you know, maybe they'll sneak into the playoffs. And as we know, it doesn't really matter where you slot in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, anything can happen. Now, everyone knows Jack Hughes, Kaapo Kakko. Who do you have going number three to the Chicago Blackhawks there?
I'm going to go Alex Turcotte. I know, you know,
yeah.
It's just, to me, it's just you can't. He seems like one of those guys that he's just going to be a really good offensive player, and that's who Chicago needs. You know, maybe he doesn't step into the lineup right away, and, you know, obviously some people are thinking, oh, maybe they go Byram, you know, the defenseman who is, you know, probably the next closest in terms of NHL ready, but I'm definitely going Turcotte there. I see him as a, you know, that team needs to get younger and cheaper because the
definitely, and that's a great they've always kind of, you know, I know Strome came in and did the second line center role, but they have always kind of been looking for that a rock to go down the middle behind to Jonathan Toews. He's a good center. You know, he's got his vision's definitely elite. I watched some of his tape when I was trying to decide between, you know, Kirby Dodge is a good player as well. I like Bowen Byram from the WHL. I could see him going five to the LA Kings. But another guy that, like, you know, if Colorado wants to take a defenseman, he could move into the four slot for sure. Bowen, he's a good player. But yeah, no, I think we're both in agreement there for that number three spot. You know, you go center, especially for the Blackhawks. I know he's going to college this season, though, I believe, right? He's enrolled at the University of Wisconsin. But I wouldn't be surprised if he only stays a season or two, because he's not going to jump right into the Blackhawks. They're not the kind of organization that would even put him in that position anyway.
Yeah, and that really, like I said, kind of speaks to the fact that Hughes and Kakko, really, forward-wise, are the only two that are probably going to be, you know, on the ice come, you know, the opening night, barring any sort of extenuating circumstance. But I agree. I mean, look, this Blackhawks team, you know, they won three cups in a 6-year span. I mean, they drafted well and they signed well. You know, you think about acquisitions like Marian Hossa and the like, and you know, this team still is a little bit of ways from turning it around, and this would be a great pick because, like you said, he can go to school for a year or two, kind of mature a little bit, and then, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised to see him again playing a pretty prominent role on that team that, you know, will have a, you know, an aging Jonathan Toews, and, you know, again, he'll be playing a more, you know, maybe not the focal point of the offense type of role, but he'll still be a very good player on that Blackhawks team.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with your assessment there. There's so much news in the NHL going on right now. It's the crazy season before everybody takes a little bit of time off. And to shift to, you know, the top team this year, the Tampa Bay Lightning, things got a little easier for them today. It sucks for him. Mm-hmm. A degenerative back issue is keeping Ryan Callahan from ever playing in the NHL again. You know, he was a solid player. You hate to see it, but if you're a team like Tampa Bay, you definitely welcome that cap, that huge cap number coming off.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, when you talk about the Lightning, they're, again, in a team that you would categorize as in a bit of cap hell. But yeah, you lose $5 million off that cap, you know, obviously for reasons that you'd rather, you know, have that player on your team healthy. But, you know, if that money's going to go to waste, at least they're going to get a little bit of a break. And, like, even that $5 million is not going to help as much as – you know, Tampa needs it. You know, obviously they have some big decisions coming up down the road.
Brayden Point is a restricted free agent. And that's not it. Next season, they have Sergachev, Vasilevsky, Sorelli, Joseph. These guys all are going to need some sort of money there. They have, well, including Callahan now that he's gone, they have like six or seven guys with no movement clauses on that team. And, you know, if guys decide to pull the Phil Kessel and dig in and say, I'm not going anywhere, Tampa Bay's in trouble, man.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's like even, you know, they only have about 10, if I'm reading it correctly, they only have about 10 million in cap space. And that's with the relief that they get from the Callahan contract. So, again, you're talking about guys, like you said, Brayden Point, Cedric Paquette, even he's going to be up, you know, a lot of restricted free agents, and they already have a lot of money doled out to some of their bigger players. You know, obviously Kucherov has the $9.5 million, Stamkos at $8.5 million. So again, it's, they're going to have to get creative here.
They're going to have to get creative, and that is not enough for them. They're going to maybe have to see if they can move a JT Miller or somebody that has some sort of cap space on the team, because they did re-sign Braden Coburn as well. So he'll be coming back on the back end, even though they had him scratched in the playoffs, I thought was pretty stupid. And I think that was a big reason why they lost. They had that Lacko or whatever his name was back there. He was horrible. But yeah, no, moving on here, restricted free agents. It's always the UFA, right? July 1st, UFA market, UFA market, free agent frenzy. Well, guess what? The restricted free agent list is absolutely batshit crazy. And, you know, there's always has been this this gentleman's agreement ever since Lowe went out there and threw the offer sheets at Thomas Vanek and Dustin Penner all those years ago, and Brian Burke got all pissed off. You know, Ray Shiro added a little fuel under the fire when asked about the strategy of using the offer sheet to lure free agents, restricted free agents looking for a payday. And he said he had to say, we all know the CBA and there's no gentleman's agreement. He said, fuck that shit. When people say that, it's a lazy narrative. I'll tell you that. Your ownership is competitive. Your GM is competitive. And it's the buddy system. What the fuck is that? Doesn't mean something will or won't happen, but that's been the narrative for years, and I don't know why. I couldn't agree more. Why don't teams use it more? Like, it's a part of the CBA for a reason. I know that you don't want the karma to come back to you, but if you're a team sitting there and Mitch Marner's there disgruntled and you have the cap space to offer him that, you could do for $10.5 million. It would only cost you two firsts, a second, and a third round pick for Mitch Marner if you offered him $10.568 million.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. It's like, you know, not every year.
Guys... Wouldn't you give that up for Mitch Marner? Oh, I'll do that right now if I'm Boston. If I was the Bruins, I would do it. I would trade David Krejci and offer him $10 million. Why not?
If only it was that easy. You know, you can just override the trades and everything like you would in a video game. But unfortunately, that's not the case. But yeah, exactly. Guys like Mitch Marner, you know, you're not going to get guys like this every single year coming up because, again, you know, most teams are wise enough to lock these guys up before it gets to this point. But alas, here we are with the Maple Leafs and their potential to lose this guy. And like I said, if I was them, if I were, like you said, the Devils, if I were the, you know, maybe the Senators or just guys.
What about the Montreal Canadiens? That would be an evil interdivision move.
What about the Colorado Avalanche? A team, you know, a team that has the third most cap space heading into the offseason and a bunch of young stars. Why not? You know, they have the ability to do it. So again, it's just, I like it. I like the, you know, look, you know, this is part of the rules. They're playing within the rules and that's fine by me. You know, we don't have to go and, you know, shake hands after games every time, you know, if you're rivals, you know, take a stab at it. Why not? Why not try to throw that money off and make your team better because he's a better player than what you have?
No, I mean, yeah, definitely. And, for the speaking on the Maple Leafs, I think that GM, what's his name there? Why do I always draw a blank on his name? Dubas.
Yeah.
I think he did a horrible job handling these guys coming into their contracts. He didn't take a stab. Like last season, before the season started, he could have had Mitch Marner at $8.5 or $9 million a year.
And it would look but like he waited for him discount. To prove it.
Yeah, that would have been a monster discount. They waited for him to prove it. Well, guess what? He did, and then some. So now you got to pay for it. How are they going to have Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, that's $40 million basically in four players.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And again,
that'll be about 47% of the whole cap on four players. I don't know about that. Now, there was rumor today came out from Darren Dreger. Everybody knew about Nazem Kadri being available. Mm-hmm. They've let the teams around the league know as well. Kasperi Kapanen, I mean, you look at a guy like Kasperi Kapanen, if he was to get an offer sheet around $4.2 million a year, the Leafs would have a hard time matching that. And that's only a second-round pick compensation-wise.
Yeah, and the, I mean, that's peanuts, you know, if you're
talking about... I'd take Kasperi Kapanen for a second-round pick, any team. You'd be crazy not to. So that's a guy who I think that they're going to just get a team to pay a little bit more than that, maybe throw a prospect in. And I think they're going to take that trade and run. Nazem Kadri could end up again like on a team like the Devils as well. I could see him there. But so much stuff going on. You could talk forever on what's going on, what did happen. And you could talk about was the NHL awards. They were on in Vegas. It's funny, my good buddy Sleeveless Gaming on Twitter, my buddy Cam, he is an NHL 19, well, EA Sports NHL content creator. And he was in attendance at the NHL Awards last night because they announced the cover. Next year's NHL 19 cover will be Austin Matthews. But everybody, the moment of the night was Carey Price seeing that boy again, whose mother's dying wish was for him to meet him the first time, and he did. That was a really cool moment. Now, we're going to recap the trophies, kind of see what we think about it here. We're going to start it off with the young guys. The Calder Trophy, Rookie of the Year. The winner was Elias Pettersson from the Vancouver Canucks. A lot of people were talking about Jordan Binnington, but the body of work, Pettersson was just so dynamic, I think. And, you know, when Binnington only had a half a season of work, I guess that's why Elias Pettersson takes it home. I was Binnington one, to be completely honest with you, because Elias Pettersson was hurt a lot this year, and I thought that Binnington, when given the opportunity, was the best rookie in the league, bar none.
Yeah, and I agree with you in the sense that, you know, I think just the fact that he came in so late in the year, and obviously he played such a huge role, and it's hard to sometimes separate playoff performance obviously from regular season, even though this is a regular season award, so obviously you can't take that into account. But you know, I think they got it right here in the long run. I mean, if Binnington was in there the whole year, then you know, maybe that's a different story. But 66 points in 71 games, yeah, I missed a few games, but you know, stepping right in and being you know, an impact performer, you know, in your rookie season like that, putting up 28 goals, I think that speaks for itself. And I think he obviously distinguished himself enough from Binnington and guys like Rasmus Dowling and, you know, other young guys like that.
Yeah, definitely. The Lady Bing Trophy, the most gentlemanly player award, went to Alexander Barkov. This kid throws dick down in Florida, but nobody really sees it because, you know, he even made a joke. He roasted his own team. He said there's more fans from Sweden than there are from Florida in the house. He took a nice little funny pot shot at his team. I think that was, you know, that's one of those awards that I don't think we need to spend too much time covering because I don't give a fuck who the most gentlemanly player is.
You know, honestly, I don't even think the players really care either.
No, I don't think they care at all. It's just kind of like, who's not a dick every year? Okay, Barkov was good this year. The refs probably huddle, talk about it. No, obviously there's a vote system, but general manager of the year, Don Sweeney brings it home for his trades at the trade deadline, filling the holes of the team that he brought the season into with. I was surprised to see Doug Wilson not on there after he acquired Erik Karlsson and pulled the Houdini flip job with Mike Hoffman, and they went pretty far. If it wasn't for injuries, I think they would have taken St. Louis out. But
yeah, I mean, again, I think the Don winning was very well deserved. I mean, the moves that he made certainly obviously helped the Bruins get to within one game of the Stanley Cup final. And, you know, I was hoping not to have to bring it up, but I just did. So, you know, you got oh so close. And again, you know, his fingerprints are all over that. Like, you can even, you know, his first few years at the head, you know, as the guy, you know, after Peter Chiarelli left, has really shown that a lot of people were wrong in the immediate aftermath of the hiring, who proclaimed him one of the worst general managers ever.
So, well, to be fair, he did start by giving up a third round pick for Zach Rinaldo. He had to go through the growing pains.
That's true.
Man, you know what's funny is Zach Rinaldo's from Hamilton, and I went to a party while I was in college, and a friend of mine and Zach Rinaldo were buddies, and he was there, and I mean, just one of the biggest dickheads I've ever encountered in my entire life. Zach Rinaldo, I'm sure you're not listening, but if you are, fuck off. I hate that guy, and I'm glad that it didn't work out there, because he was just a dirty prick. There was no reason for us to even do that. I think that there was a lot of talk going on after that season in Boston that they weren't tough enough and Lucic wasn't fighting anymore, and he felt that pressure and tried to bring like a fan favorite in, and it just blew up in his face. But shows you how far he's come from that 2015 draft where he passed up on Barzal and Connor and Shabbat and players like that. Don Sweeney winning that award shows that the Bruins, you know, they stuck with him after it would have been easy to scapegoat him after 2 years and get rid of him, right? It would have been an easy thing to do. Don Sweeney hangs on. Way to go. Next up was the King Clancy Trophy, the Humanitarian Award. It was won by Jason Zucker. That's really cool to see. You know, he's an outstanding guy on and off the rink. Ted Lindsay, the most outstanding player. That was Nikita Kucherov, and I think that was a slam dunk no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. And that's one voted on by the player. So, I mean, that's something that...
Of course.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe it holds a little bit more weight to other people. But, I mean, again, it, you don't get really too many 128-point seasons
this day and age. No, I think the last time it happened was like in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very, very long time ago. And, you know, obviously, you know, it was, again, like you said, a slam dunk. Just like the Hart Trophy should have probably been unanimous because, again, Nikita Kucherov was the best player from start to finish. You know, obviously... playoffs notwithstanding, you know, because this is a regular season award, but you know, he was just excellent, and you know, the players obviously saw that themselves, and you know, their opinions is the one that really matters.
Yeah, and then the next one was the Bill Masterson Award, Perseverance, Sportsmanship, and Dedication. The winner was Robin Lehner. Guy, you know, I live near Buffalo. Robin Lehner was the goalie there, and it was no secret that he had some personal demons. He was struggling with mental illness and addiction. And for him to come back and have the type of season he had on the island where he was a runner-up for the Vezina Trophy, it was a fantastic story. And the Islanders need to make sure that Lehner's between the pipes because, you know, that was a great story last year. And, you know, what a damn good season, too.
Yeah, and really, that's what it all comes down to, too. It's just how well he played. I mean, the Islanders, you know, they let up the fewest amount of goals the entire year. And, you know, he was obviously a big reason for that. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, they signed Jordan Eberle. They re-signed him. But they, you know, they still have some question marks, the Islanders. And he's one of them, you know, which they obviously want him back in net, but... You know,
yeah, Andres V as well still needs a contract on the island. And speaking of on the island, Jack Adams Award, Barry Trotz, that was a no-brainer after he led the Washington Capitals to the Stanley Cup championship. They couldn't agree on a new contract there. He leaves, ends up on the island. The team goes further. They lose their captain, their franchise player. They go further in the playoffs with them anyway. Barry Trotz, you knew that was his. That guy's a coaching marvel, that guy. Oh, yeah. I think he is the best coach in the league. I think he deserved every second of that award. It's easy to say John Cooper, but when you look at the rosters and what Trotz had to go through, like his GM got rid of Tavares and brought him Matt Martin and Leo Komarov. So for him to do that, it was pretty impressive. Speaking of impressive, Ryan O'Reilly continues to helicopter his dong around the NHL. He's swinging that thing like a fucking, like a goddamn air ambulance that's just flying around. He wins the Selke Trophy over Mark Stone and Patrice Bergeron. Ryan O'Reilly won the Stanley Cup, the Conn Smythe, the Selke Trophy. All what a week for Ryan O'Reilly, and just another black cloud over the city of Buffalo as I look across over the river.
That's the way she goes.
Yeah, that's the way she goes. And before I touch on Ryan O'Reilly, I was going to add in Barry Trotz took the team, one of the worst teams in the league in giving up goals and defensive wise, all the way to best. You know, that says something about how good of a coach you are. I think, you know, he was a slam dunk winner. I think the biggest travesty was that Bruce Cassidy wasn't even a top three nominee. But that's a rant, I guess, for another day, because I think he should have been at least one of the three finalists. But, you know, again, you know, that's not the one that you want to win. And, you know, again, on Ryan O'Reilly, just what a what a great season, and you know, a kick to the craw of Buffalo Sabres fans as you watch this guy go from help turn a team around, bring him to the Stanley Cup final, was their best player from start to finish in the series, and again, win an award against a guy that jokingly the award should be named after because he wins so much, and that's Patrice Bergeron. And you know, it's an extra sting if you're a Bruins fan, and I know you can attest to the disappointment in seeing O'Reilly.
Eight straight seasons he's been nominated for the Selke Award. He's one Selke trophy away from winning the most all time. I'm dying for him to get it. He will get it. Mm-hmm. He's too good of a player not to. He'll be right in the conversation probably for the next couple seasons. But moving on, the Norris Trophy winner went to my guy, Mark Giordano. This guy wasn't even drafted in the fucking NHL. And he plays the game the right way. He plays good in his own zone. He's good in the offensive zone. He makes the hits. He drops the gloves when he has to. The ultimate cat. I love him. I'm a big Mark Giordano guy. And for a guy who wasn't drafted into this league, that was really awesome to see.
Yeah, and again, it's like, I remember the years, watching these awards, and it was essentially, okay, Nick Lindstrom wins it every year, and that's kind of, we were joking that it was the Patrice Bergeron Award, but, back in the day, it used to basically just rotate between just a few guys, so it's nice to see some of these guys win for the first time and, get his name on the map, because, being a fan of a team and a football team in New England, I always like the underdog story where the guy is either drafted late or undrafted and he comes up and makes a big impact. So, I was excited, again, as a fan of the game, to see a guy like Giordano win. So I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, buddy, no doubt. All right, moving on. The Mark Messier Leadership Award was won by Wayne Simmonds. Again, kind of an award that I really don't give a rat's ass about. Wayne Simmonds had a horrible year last year. I don't really know why he won much of anything. That was a really bad season going into a contract year for him. Vezina Trophy, I don't even want to talk about the Messier Leadership Award. I could care less about it. I don't know if you're in agreement, but yeah, Vezina Trophy. The backstopper of the perennial chokers, the Tampa Bay Lightning, Andre Vasilevsky, captain of the choke squad. He wins the Vezina Trophy.
Forgot another to tell regular Kyle season the ear
trophy. Yeah, exactly, Kyle. Another regular season trophy to celebrate. If it wasn't for Marty Jelena having that goal screwed taken back in 2006, this would have been the greatest season in that franchise's history. Vasilevsky wins. Good on him. And the Hart Trophy, keeping in Tampa. Everybody knew this. File it under obvious. Nikita Kucherov, 128 points. Crushed it. And, he wins that over Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid. That's a big big accomplishment for him. And he had the best season since, like, 96. So, damn, good for him.
Yeah, and you know what? Fortunately for the Lightning, Kucherov is already paid. But all those trophies do, they're just bills for later, because we mentioned it earlier in the show. It was, Vasilevsky is a guy that they're going to have to pay. And, he keeps winning Vezina trophies. He's going to get a bump from his $3.5 million that he makes right now. But both well-deserved. And, it's again, slam dunk win for Kucherov. I mean, he was fantastic. And,
Well, yeah, and like, look at Vasilevsky. Like, if a guy like Bobrovsky signs this year for $10 million a season, is he not? is he not going to be looking for the same?
Oh, easily. I mean, and look, I think Bobrovsky. I'm not a huge fan of Bobrovsky. I think he's a pretty good goalie, but I think lack of options this offseason for teams, and of course, some teams are going to be desperate. You're going to look at a team like maybe Florida. Yeah, Florida. You took the words right out of my mouth. And he's going to get paid, and good for him. Right place, right time. And some players are just fortunate that the market is Ryan Miller staying in Anaheim, but he's not Ryan Miller of 10 years ago. So again, what's out there for the goalie market? There's not much. And Bobrovsky, like I said, Bobrovsky is a good goalie. If I'm making a top 10 free agent list, he might be around 10 for me, whereas a lot of people might put him near the top.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that he's not the best teammate in the world, and I didn't really like his attitude until down the stretch this year for Columbus. They were even sitting him at times, right? Like, there was a time where they didn't even dress him. they were unsure what to do with him. And then he went on that tear, and probably his agent probably reminded him too. That's why I'm not a big fan of those Russian hockey players, not to sound like Don Cherry or anything like that. But, you know, he kind of has that attitude on him too. And I wouldn't be looking to bring that into my dressing room at $10 million a season. Speaking of goaltenders, Ryan Miller re-upped with the Anaheim Ducks, 1-year deal. His wife can still act. Well, he's a pretty mediocre backup. Alex Edler signed 2 years to stay with the Canucks. Initially, I thought it was actually going to be 3 years, but it came in at two. A lot of stuff is going to be happening heading into tomorrow's draft. And Ian, what I want to ask you is, what do you think is going to be, what's the surprise move you could see at the draft? Give me something you think you could possibly see go down tomorrow.
Man, that's a tough one. Maybe there is this all comes down to, you know, how volatile has the situation come between the Maple Leafs and Marner? Is it as bad as everyone thinks it may be, you know, in terms of like, you know, is Marner just playing real hardball and the Maple Leafs aren't going to, reach his asking price? And if in which case, you know, maybe we see a trade. You know, again, maybe we see a team step up to the plate and, you know, make that offer. Maybe, you know, obviously Maple Leafs, they work out a deal, you know, a little sign and trade type of deal.
So you can get the extra 8 years.
Get the extra year. You know, if the Leafs are resigned to the fact that, look, we're just not going to re-sign them. And, you know, again, you know, they can't wait too long. They got to make a decision on it. So maybe that's what we see. Maybe we see a Mitch Marner trade.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised to see something happen with him. I don't know if it'll happen this fast. Here's my prediction, and you know, obviously doing the work that we do for the Bruins, and I do have a contact or two. I'm gonna make my prediction, and this is out of left field. Don't put any weight into this. This is just for fun. I think the Boston Bruins acquire another first round pick and move Torrey Krug. I think that they have a logjam on defense. They have Chara, McAvoy, and Carlo, who are RFAs but are going to 100% be back. There's no way those two guys aren't coming back. They got Grizzlick, Vakanainen, and Clifton looked game, Kevin Miller, John Moore. Keep naming guys, go down the list, and Boston has about 9 to 10 viable options on defense. For me, Vakanainen's on this team next year, and I think Clifton proved that he could play a role too if he has to. Torrey Krug is entering his last year. This guy's going to get paid, man. He is 3 straight 40 assist seasons, played great in the playoffs, finally seems to be working out the issues in his own end. And suddenly you're looking at Torrey Krug on the open market. That's an $8 million bill all day long, Brando. You know what I mean? Like that could, that's something I could see happening with the Bruins and Torrey Krug. And I think Boston would be smart, because that team needs to establish a proper right winger for David Krejci, whether they acquire a forward to go on Bergeron's line and put Pasternak there, or they find someone. Kreider. They can't rotate out 13 different guys this season on Krejci's line. It's not fair. They need to solidify that top six forward, and I think that would be – I think Torrey Krug would absolutely lure them something massively good, because he's a great player.
Well, and we've talked about this off the air and on the air as well, but you know, his value is just, you know, at its peak right now. And of course the Bruins obviously aren't, you know, in dire straits. You know, they're kind of middle of the pack when it comes to cap room. But, you know, again, if you're thinking long term, if you're thinking the anti-Shirelli, you know, way of thinking, then you actually want to see, okay, we need to set ourselves up down the road, because we're going to have to make a few signings. We're going to have to, you know, extend a few guys. And right now they're getting a good break on, you know, guys like Pasternak has a cheap contract. Marchand has a cheap contract. But Charlie McAvoy, again, we've talked about plenty of times, as a restricted free agent. So
That's going to be such an interesting deal, because going into the playoffs, I would have said Boston's in a good position with McAvoy, because he was hurt all year. And you know what? He didn't play that great. And then the playoffs came. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic.
Yep.
And he looked like that number one defenseman that the Bruins are just praying that he turns out to be. And all of a sudden I'm sitting here going, well, I don't know. Is he going to be able to stay under that Bergeron threshold with Pasternak did and the way Marchand did? Or Are we looking at another RFA? Fuck you, pay me. So
he says he wants to be here.
He says he wants to be there forever.
Yeah, and you know, maybe take those comments for what you will. Some people just talk out their ass, but you know, it seemed, I don't know, genuine. I guess as genuine as you can see. So who knows? Maybe he's not looking to Mitch Marner the Bruins right now. You know, maybe he's more willing to take something where he gets a little, obviously a bump in pay, which he again very much deserves. And maybe, yeah, you know, maybe he bets on himself again so he can sign a bigger deal in a few years when, you know, hey, the cap could see a huge leap in the coming year. So that means more money for the players. And again, yeah, he's so young that, yeah. So,
yeah, it's one of those things where you got to think of it from both sides. Like, yeah, he wants to stay there forever, but if Boston convinces McAvoy to stay on an 8-year deal and pays him $7.5 million, well, like you said, what if the cap jumps up to $100 million in 4 years, and guys that are, you know, third pairing D men are making $5 million a year? So you got to watch it in that sense. I know that Mitch Marner, if he stays in Toronto, doesn't really. I don't think he wants to go 8 years. Regardless, I think he wants to put himself into that prime UFA status. So that'll be tough. All I know, man, is we're going to have to grab the coffee as the next week flies here, because tomorrow's the draft, and then it's just, say, you know, the tampering window opens, and then you know, you're on your way to July 1st. And if you're going to be covering all the stuff, you're going to want to make sure, guys, you check out Goal Line Coffee Company. They have four awesome flavors: the Warm Up, Breakaway, Coffee Night in Canada, and Overtime. There's a dark, which is a dark roast. Coffee Night in Canada is an awesome medium roast. The Breakaway is a hazel vanilla. It's just so good. This is the official coffee of hockey. You can go to www.goallinecoffeecompany.ca. Right now, I know that he's got a little promotion going on, $3 off any product, because the Blues won the Stanley Cup. My man Joey, he's a St. Louis Blues fanatic through and through. So check out Goal Line Coffee Company if you're looking to keep yourself awake during this crazy busy time. Ian, why don't you let them know where they can find you?
Well, if you're not already, follow me on Twitter. Go ahead and do that. It's at IGLEN31. And for the most part, I like to tweet behind the at @FPC_NHL tag. So go ahead and follow them as well, because there'll be a lot of great information coming out the next couple of days. And it's like you said, the coffee is getting put directly into my veins, because I'm going to need it.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm at the point where I might just start snorting these coffee beans here. There's going to be so much damn work to do. Buddy, I love it. If anybody wants to follow me as well out there, it's at C Mancuso, MANCUSO, 9797 for Jeremy Roenick, not McDavid, you fucking men's league chirpers out there. I'm not trying to be McDavid. I am definitely not in the McDavid shape or skill set,
or age range.
Definitely more like a Jeremy Roenick, 7 rum and cokes deep, maybe a couple Hollywoods, and Bob's your uncle. But guys, we want to thank you. This has been Get the Puck Out, brought to you by Full Press Coverage. Hit up fullpresscoverage.com/NHL for all the hockey news. Buddy, thank you for joining us today and filling in. And I'm so excited for this week. And I got to say, man, the being with you guys and being on the team, it's been awesome so far, man. I'm having a real good time.
Well, this is a good time of the year. And like I said, you know, our golf days are still a few weeks away. So, you know, we're happy to have you here. And, you know, again, we're looking to build a pretty awesome team at FPC NHL. And so far we're doing that. So looking forward to a lot of good times in the coming months. And, hey, Just what, 4 months until hockey season? It's almost here, so.
Yeah, it's time to stand in the batting cages and let the goddamn baseballs just fly right into your chest. 364 days until hockey tryouts. I got to get into shape, guys. Thank you for joining us. This has been Get the Puck Out, and make sure you keep your stick on the ice and your cock out your pants, boys. Take it easy.